chapter 18, before Annas, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin.
The shouting mob followed Jesus from Gethsemane. He moved painfully, for his hands were tightly bound, and he was closely guarded. The mob first dragged him to the house of Annas, who had formerly been the high priest, but whose place then had been filled by his son-in-law, Caiaphas. The wicked Annas had requested that he might be the first to see Jesus of Nazareth, a bound captive. He hoped to draw from him some evidence to condemn him by. With this in mind, he questioned the Savior about his disciples and his teachings. Christ answered, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing." John 18:20. Then, facing his questioner, he said, "Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them." Verse 21. The priests themselves had sent spies to watch Christ and report his every word. Through their agents, they knew his teachings and actions at every gathering he had attended. The spies had sought to entrap him in his words, that they might find something by which to condemn him. So the Savior said, "Ask those who heard me. Go to your spies. They have heard what I have said. They can tell you what my teaching has been." Christ's words were so searching and pointed that the priest felt that his prisoner was reading his very soul. But one of the servants of Annas, thinking that Jesus did not treat his master with proper respect, struck Christ in the face, blurting out, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Verse 22. To this Jesus mildly said, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Verse 23. Christ could have summoned legions of angels from heaven to his aid, but it was a part of his mission to endure in his humanity all the taunts and insults that people might heap upon him. The temple authorities took the Savior from the house of Annas to the palace of Caiaphas. They would try him before the Sanhedrin. Annas and Caiaphas again questioned him while they had its members called together, but they learned nothing new from Jesus. When the members of the Sanhedrin had assembled, Caiaphas took his seat as president. On each side were the judges. In front of them stood the Roman soldiers guarding the Savior. Behind the soldiers was the accusing mob. Caiaphas then ordered Jesus to do one of his mighty miracles before them. But the Savior gave no sign that he had heard a word. Had he responded by even one soul-searching look, such as he gave the buyers and sellers in the temple, the whole murderous throng would have had to flee from his presence. The Romans controlled Palestine and did not allow the Jews to punish anyone with death. The Sanhedrin could only examine the prisoner and pass along its judgment to the Roman authorities. The Romans would then decide whether to execute the prisoner or not. To get Christ killed, they must find something against the Savior that the Roman governor would regard as a crime. They had lots of evidence that Christ had spoken against the Jewish traditions and many of their rules. It was easy to prove that he had denounced the priests and scribes and that he had called them hypocrites and murderers. But the Romans would pay no attention to that, for they themselves were disgusted with the Pharisees. Many charges were brought against Christ, but either the witnesses disagreed, or the evidence was of such a nature that the Romans would not accept it. The religious leaders tried to make him reply to their accusations, but he appeared as if he had not heard them. Long before, the prophet Isaiah had described Christ's silence at this time. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Isaiah 53:7. The priests began to fear that they would not find any evidence to use against their prisoner before Pilate. They felt that they must make one last effort. The high priest raised his right hand toward heaven and said to Jesus, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Matthew 26:63. The Savior never denied his mission or his relationship to the Father. He could remain silent to personal insult, but he always spoke plainly and decidedly when anyone questioned his work or sonship to God. Every ear listened carefully, and every eye was fixed upon him as he answered, It is as you said. Verse 64. In the custom of those days, what Jesus said was the same as answering yes. It was the strongest way one could make an affirmative answer. A heavenly light seemed to illuminate the pale face of the Savior as he added, Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Verse 64. In his statement, the Savior presented the reverse of what was then taking place. He pointed forward to the time when he would occupy the position of supreme judge of heaven and earth. Christ will then be seated upon the Father's throne, and his decisions will have no appeal. He brought before his listeners a view of that day when, instead of being surrounded and abused by a riotous mob, he would come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Legions of angels would escort him. Then he would pronounce sentence upon his enemies, including that same accusing throng. As Jesus spoke the words declaring himself to be the Son of God and Judge of the world, the high priest rent his robe as if to show his horror. He lifted his hands toward heaven and said, He has spoken blasphemy! What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? Verses 65 and 66. The judges answered, He is deserving of death. Verse 66. It was contrary to the Jewish law to try a prisoner at night. Though they had condemned Christ, they must still conduct a formal trial during the day. The authorities took Jesus to the guardroom. There he endured mockery and abuse from the soldiers and the crowd. At daybreak, the guards again brought him before his judges, who pronounced the final sentence. A satanic fury then took possession of the leaders and the people. The roar of voices was like that of wild beasts. They rushed toward Jesus, screaming, He is guilty! Put him to death! Had it not been for the soldiers, they would have torn him in pieces. The Romans used their weapons to keep the mob back. Priests, rulers, and the rabble joined in abusing the Savior. Someone threw an old garment over his head, and his persecutors struck him in the face. Prophesy to us, Christ! Who is the one who struck you? Verse 68. When the garment was removed, one of the mocking throng spat in the Savior's face. The angels of God faithfully recorded every insulting look, word, and act against their beloved commander. One day those who scorned and spat upon the calm, pale face of Christ will see it shining brighter than the sun.